Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pello di Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Has to move a little bit. It's getting chilly out there. They got to keep moving so they can keep warm.
Yes. it is. I think this week we're supposed to get in the 40s, low 40s.
Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Monday morning. You walk outside and you can already start to smell people's fireplaces. And they're cranking them up.
it's what, 70, low 70s, 60s?
Yeah.
68.
Low 70s, okay. Upper 60s. It's fireplace time. You know. So need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of things. Here in the opening there, a lot of those wineries that we visited over the years, actually almost every one of them, there is a link to them on our All About Wine website. For any of you out there who hasn't checked it out, go check out that website. It's All About Wine BTR for Blog Talk Radio, obviously. AllAboutWineBTR.com, and it has a listing of all of the wineries that we have talked to over the years. Mike has been very good about keeping that up and on top of that. So if you want to find out more about any of the wineries or anything that in that opening or any of them we've talked to in the past, check out the website. And also, if you don't want to call the 646-727-3235 number, you can always call us toll-free at 866-588-WINE or 9463. Ooh.
I think I'll call that right now.
About our website. Are you?
Yeah. Good.
Operators are standing by.
That's right.
Yeah, we hardly ever talk about our All About Wine website, and there's some cool information on there, linked to the other all the wineries we've talked to, which is really pretty cool and all that. So, and Yeah, it's funny. I get people in all the time. I think I mentioned this last week. I get people all the time coming into the winery from different parts of the country talking about wineries that are close to them. And a lot of them we've talked to on this program, which is fun to talk with the people about it and have them tell us about the wineries we've talked to. So, yeah, sort of a cool thing. But
next week we'll actually go there.
Maybe. I hope. Next week is Thanksgiving here in America. I say that because the Canadian Thanksgiving is different than ours. So Thanksgiving here in America, we are not going to have a program because of it. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing because my engineer had a serious back operation. I don't know. We always like leftover turkey more, and I like the fresh turkey anyway. So if anybody's getting leftover turkey they don't know what to do with, send it to me, and I will make sandwiches. I love turkey sandwiches.
Ooh. Okay. So you're actually closed on Thursday.
We will be, yes. Yes, we will be closed next Thursday, or a week from today. Speaking of a week from today, yesterday, and we missed it because I just found this out while I was doing some research for the program tonight and seeing what I was going to talk about. I just found out that yesterday was National Zinfandel Day. And we missed it. So sad. Mm-hmm. So sad. What is Zinfandel Day? Zinfandel Day is a worldwide celebration of the Zinfandel grape variety, intended to give Zinfandel lovers around the globe a platform to express their passion for grape and the wines made from it. And we missed it. We didn't tell people about it.
We're only on Thursday, so I mean, we couldn't do an extra show just yesterday.
But if it's November 16th, then you know it will eventually hit us on a Thursday, so we're going to have to keep that in mind. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you go five ways to celebrate Zinfandel Day or Zin Day #ZinDay: share a bottle with a friend. Which, hey, it doesn't have to be Zin Day to share a bottle of wine with a friend. Number two, visit a tasting bar or a wine bar. It says over 90% of Zinfandel is grown in California. However, they can be found throughout the country of the United States. So typically when called white Zinfandel is made from the Zinfandel grape, but it's has the skin taken off. And Zinfandel Rosé is usually drier than the white Zin. So there's a couple of things. Number three, explore Zinfandel's food pairing abilities. Sit down to dinner and open up a bottle of Zin and see what you can do. It might be a good pairing for your Thanksgiving turkey coming up because it doesn't have a lot of tannins. And it will probably pair well with most of the turkeys you have. And you can always visit a Zinfandel winery. Most of them, again, are in California. But a Pahrump winery in Nevada makes a Zinfandel grape. The Zinfandel vineyards are some of the oldest in California, by the way. Some of them over 120 years old. And then get social with #ZinDay. Share it with people around the world and all that and see who all pops up on it. Now, that was yesterday. And I like Zinfandel. I like the Zinfandel grape, and I like the Zinfandel wine, and I'm really upset that we missed Zinfandel Day yesterday. But we'll keep that in mind for next year. So I had to cover that on Zinfandel there. I had to tell about Primitivo, which is from Spain, and they have found that it is the same grape as the Zinfandel. So, you know, maybe #Primo for the Spanish Zinfandel. I don't know. But it's the same grape. They, you know, through genetic engineering and stuff, they found that it is the same grape as the Zinfandel. But California has made it their own, if you will. But Zinfandel Day was yesterday. I really am. I'm upset that we missed that. And the thing is, all these things that I'm looking for and trying to get information, it was on yesterday's news that I found that it was Seminole Day. It didn't tell you in advance, which I think is sort of odd. But so there you go. The Seminole Day was yesterday. Oh, well. We're going to get a report from Mike later on the wine that he's got for the tasting this evening. But right now, I am. That disappeared. I didn't want to do that. Right now, I'm going to tell you about what I'm drinking. I picked up a bottle of Apothic Dark. Now, Apothic has a whole series of wines out there. They got Apothic Red, and they've got another one, Apothic Light, or something like that. It's just a little bit lighter version of it. But this is Apothic Dark. It's a red blend. It's California, 2014. It is vintaged. It shows 14% alcohol by volume, ABV. But this is, it says on this label, which as I was reading, I'm going, what does that mean? And I was getting myself confused on what they meant by this. And it doesn't, well, let me read it. It says, there is a romance in darkness. It draws our curiosity and beckons a desire to taste the unknown. Apothic Dark blends dark fruit flavors of blueberry and blackberry with opulent notes of coffee and dark chocolate for a rich yet silky smooth wine experience. It doesn't say anything about what the grapes are. And it says, it's got some nice fruity aftertaste to it. A nice fruity aftertaste to it. And the nose comes out with a little bit of the chocolatey. You can pick that up in the nose. It was $10, I think, a little bit, right around there. It's, and the dark fruits, the blackberries and blueberries, you can get in the aftertaste. But I'm trying to pick out a wine on this thing, and I'm not able to find out what the grape is. I'm the fruit that they added is, I don't know. It's overtaking any notes of what the wine might be. So anybody out there know what the Apothic Dark really contains? Let me know. I'm curious. But it's a nice wine for the price. It's interesting. It would be a nice accompaniment for semi-heavy meals. I don't think I'd go too heavy on this, but if you're having steaks, it'd be nice. A very heavy sauce on a spaghetti. This might even go good with, it would go good with a nice lasagna. And when you your sauce and contains some garlic and all that, this would be very good for that. It'd be a nice balance. So, Apothic Dark, something I picked up. Interesting wine. And let's see what else I'm going to tell you before. Oh, I saw an ad in one of my trade journals. Which one was this? Prepared Foods was. It was an ad from Mizkan. MIZKAN. And they said, bringing flavor to life. And the ad was a picture of a bottle of wine. It says, set yourself free with preservative-free wines and reductions made for cooking. And it's no preservatives added, nothing added to it. They have Burgundy, Chablis, Marsala, Red Port, Sherry, Vermouth, and more. I looked up their website. And it's MIZKAN.com, Mizkan, and went to private label page, and where it says private label cooking wines, And it's the red cooking wine, 10.5% to 11% alcohol. Now, you have to keep in mind, and I say this on all of my tastings, you should never cook with a wine that you would not drink a glass of. And this is something all the chefs say. If you've ever watched any cooking shows where they have wine, invariably it's always a sip of wine, a little bit for the food, another sip, and stuff like that. So, you know, if it's good enough to drink, it's good enough to eat. Well, these aren't good enough to eat. The red cooking wine is a polished, filtered Burgundy-type wine to which salt has been added to render the product non-beverage wine. All fruit used to make the wine shall be grape and may be from grape concentrate and or fresh pressed grapes. But if it's not good enough to drink, why are you cooking with it? And then the white cooking wine, same thing. This is also salt added to it. This is my problem with cooking wines, is because they have to have salt to it to preserve it. And this is the same thing. They also have a sauterne, which product of the alcoholic fermentation of the juice of grapes to which salt is added. Burgundy. Now, these are higher percent alcohol. Both of the sauterne and Burgundy are 11 to 11.5%. This is also salt is added. And then the last one of their private label cooking wines is the Marsala, which is 17 to 17.5% alcohol. And this is a product of alcoholic fermentation of the grapes, which salt is added. Always, always I preach, always I've heard, always I've said, do not cook with a wine you would not drink. Why would you want to drink these with all that salt added? In fact, they're telling you right in this, non-beverage wine. If it's not good enough to drink, what is the purpose of adding it to your food and then eating it? I'll throw that out there and let this go. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because it is such a burr in my saddle. So that's it. There's a few things I want to tell you about tonight. And I feel like I cut Mike off a little bit on the opening there, and we were talking, and I started to wax poetic on the first part there. So sorry if I did, Mike.
I'm still researching, just trying to research, find out what the grapes are in that wine. The bottle looks interesting. The website, yeah, the website. Have you been to the website? It's
yes.
It's very, it's dark as well. It's got a lot of. It's different. but
it doesn't talk about the grapes.
Mm-mm. It says, now I went to Amazon. I found it on Amazon. They sell like a multi-pack 750 milliliter package. All it says is the grapes for our 2014 were selected from Lodi. Where
Lodi.
Sunlight and diverse soil structures result in wine with a complexity and balanced acidity. And then it goes to the growing season was ideal. All that kind of stuff. Harvest yielded grapes with ripe fruit flavors and vibrant aromas. Well, good for you.
Yeah, but what grape?
That doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I know. I just have to say this, you know, I mean, it's nice, but there's nothing anywhere that tells you what grapes are used. And yeah, it was vintage. This bottle was vintage, 2014. So the grapes were picked a couple years ago. But not telling you any more about the grapes than that.
I'm looking, see if I find anything else, but it's kind of like a movie trailer. You know, they want to tell you everything, you know, come in now and get this, but they're not telling you what it's about or what's in it, you know?
Yeah.
What kind of wine is the dark? Very fruity, comprising the red. Okay, here's I don't know where this, Cleveland, Apothic Red, Apothic Dark. Red blends. Comprising the red are Zinfandel, Merlot, Syrah, and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay, but that's... Those are the grapes in all the reds. I think they're all reds.
Okay.
Is that what? Is it a blend? I don't know. It just, yeah, I saw that too, and I'm thinking, okay, but how much and where and
yeah,
it's. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if you find more, jump in there and let me know.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Back to mute.
I saw something, a couple of things here that I want to talk about simply because, where are we? Let me get back to where I want to be here. Oops. This is the ninth. As we all know, we just elected a new president last week, a week ago Tuesday. And at least you should know. If you listen to the program now, I'm sure you know. This says, what's it going to mean for Donald Trump's effect on wine? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Donald Trump does not drink. He is a self-proclaimed teetotaler. He says he doesn't drink anything at all, wines or anything. And I saw that two or three different places. But what's going to happen in the wine industry, or actually agriculture, but in the wine industry, they said that him being elected might give the Americans Brexit type attitude to people. They think it's going to white. Okay, what do we got here? Oh, Apophic Dark. Here, I have a listener out there that just sent this to me. Thank you, Doug, by the way. Says, comprising the red are Zinfandel, Merlot, Syrah, and Cabernet Sauvignon grapes that play well together. The dark is a richer blend, and it offers less fruit, but it has more tannins that stay with you a while. Says, this is a teeth stainer. It combines Petite Syrah, and the screen just went off here. Okay. It combines Petite Syrah, Teroldego, and Cabernet Sauvignon. So, that is Apophic Dark. Yes, Apophic Dark. All right, yeah. So, there you go. But not percentage and stuff. So, very good. So, thank you, Doug, for the... Oh, I'm sorry, my engineer found that. I was giving someone else credit. But it doesn't give percentages or anything. Always, that's odd. I need to call them. That might be something I'll put on my list here. Call Apophic Wines and see if I can't get them on the show. Thank you, engineer. But back to what I said. They're saying that when Trump is elected, America's Brexit might happen to the market. Trump and Clinton were cool on free trade deals with the U.S. and EU, and they're not sure what's going to happen with the U.S. wine industry overseas. So these are all things that they're not sure about. Financial Times described it as Americans' Brexit, referring to the British leaving the Union last year. Again, Trump, a self-proclaimed teetotaler, but he has a winery in the family. One of the holdings is in the family. The dollar regained some strength a few hours after the election and after Trump's acceptance speech, and the stock market seems to level, which any uncertainty in the U.S. may mean caution among fine wine buyers and potentially affect the market in 2016. But again, it's early. We're looking at, just happening. We don't know what's really going to happen. Possibility that investors will look to alternative assets such as wine and the prolonged could affect the market, stock market. But it's still too early to say. Gold jumped up 4% after the election. A proposed free trade deal known as TTIP was heading for the rocks. That is the Pacific Trade Agreement. TTIP looks like it's not going to go through, which it will still open up wine for everything. So whether it goes through or not, and it doesn't look like it's going to, it's really not going to affect the wine sales around different parts of the world. Legally labeled California champagne has been produced and sold in the U.S. dating back to 1857. And now the European Union is saying, look, you're not supposed to do that. That is not a generic term. It is a area term for champagne. And the semi-generic term of champagne, the U.S. ventures are saying, is just that. It's been used for so long that it is used everywhere, and it's okay. Wine Institute challenges any assertion that consumers have difficulty distinguishing between U.S. and French champagnes because it's clearly marked on the label the difference. Let's see. The wine trade deal signed in 2006, and that was one I've talked about on previous programs, gives protection to a range of European wines, and champagne and port are also part of those protections. But they're saying that most everything before then was grandfathered in, so therefore they're still doing the champagne and ports and different things here in the States. And it's something that may come to a head during this next term of the new president. Sales of wine to Mexico, they think, might be slowed down a little bit, but it's still too early to tell any of that stuff. So the whole thing is, you know, it's a wait and see thing right now. They're looking at some of these things that have a possibility of affecting the government or the wine industry and affecting all the stuff within the wine industry. But basically, it's, you know, he's really not even in office yet. So it's not a matter of saying, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. It's a wait and see. Once he gets in office, we'll see what happens. Now, Constellation shares, Constellation Brands is a big, big winery. I mean, they're one of the absolute largest in the world as far as all the branches that they have, the fingers that they have out and everything. They're one of the largest in the world. And Constellation shares dropped by 8% the day after Trump was elected. Now, one share Constellation Brands were transformed in 2013 when it paid $4.75 billion to Anheuser-Busch InBev for Grupo Modelo's U.S. beer business. And so Constellation is now the largest U.S. importer of Mexican beer. And Constellation and Mexican beer accounted for 52.6% of net sales and 63.5% of profits last year. So Trump has pledged to build a wall and keep out illegals and scrap the North American Free Trade Agreement with NAFTA and different things like this. And because of Constellation being such an intricate part of the Mexican trade and, you know, and beer, and they are a big wine company, it affected their bottom line. The U.S. rum market with Havana may also be affected also too on that. And then there are some French companies that are still looking at what Trump's going to do and all. So we don't know. It's just some of those that are up in the air. We'll have to wait and see what's going to go on and what's going to happen. But it's, you know, as always, you know, we don't know until things actually start to take place and actually start doing something, and then we'll know. I don't know if you've heard, New Zealand had an earthquake. I'm sure you did. You know, the thing is, most people most people listen to this show are, you know, educated about world events and stuff, because wine is a world event. So most people know about that stuff, what things are going on. New Zealand had an earthquake. What was it, a week ago, a week and a half ago? Pretty serious in the south end of New Zealand. It wasn't anywhere other than the tip, down by the tip. But the wine industry, it was affected. Damage appears to be limited to broken bottles and some vats that are leaning. Roads were tore up. It was a 7.5 earthquake, which hit after midnight on November 14th, their time. Again, northeast of the city of Christchurch on the South Island. Damage to the wineries and to the vineyards was rather small. There was some 15 wineries that were visited, and most were either in a state of a site closure or had very small team site workers working on it, meeting with engineers and staff to assess the damage and to undertake site safety measures. This article was written, it was posted November 14th, our time, so they're a day ahead of us, so it was right after the event happened. One of the biggest wineries in the region, Cloudy Bay, put out a statement that it expects to be back to business as usual the following day. So they're right on top of it. Clive Jones of Nautilus in Marlborough said that they arrived to work to a tank on a lean and a couple of pallets of wine on the floor in the warehouse. They transferred the wine to another tank and swept up the broken glass and soggy cardboard. We also have had some broken bottles in our museum cellar. Barrel racks moved around but remained upright. So, yes, he said it is a setback, but relatively minor one at this stage. And so what they're saying, most of them are saying that it's not that bad, but they're continuing to have hundreds of aftershocks, which, you know, as each one happens, if you're not cleaned up or if something's precariously leaning or set or something, aftershocks could cause even more damage and problems. So as this stands now, the wine industry in South New Zealand seems to be doing well without problems, and there seems to be knowing what they want to do, and they're finding what needs to be done, and they're taking care of it. So I'll let you know as I see stuff, as I read stuff, I will let you know, which will be 2 weeks because we're not going to be here next week. But another thing, while we're down south of the equator, let's jump over to Australia. Australia had a problem. The Riverland wine grape growers are assessing damage from a vicious hailstorm that hit them last week. Ripped the grapes from the vines and toppled some of the vineyard rows across the region. The giant hailstones and strong winds swept through the Riverland area on Friday. That was just last week, leaving several industries with a combined damage of about $100 million. Wow. Some grape growers said that they have lost 50%, 80%, even 100% of their grapes on the blocks. Manash Vineyard manager said he went back to his blocks after the storm and had to pass through and found nearly 50 of his rows damaged or snapped or slumped on the ground. He said, oh my God, what else could I do? He said he couldn't even go into the club afterwards and have a beer because there was no power. Suffered significant damage in a lot of areas, but other regions were hit harder. The younger farmers are just starting to build up their crops, and it's going to hurt them tremendously. Stone fruit is really been damaged. Don't know if they're going to be able to recover from the damage to the trees and stuff. A lot of the grapevines and the posts were knocked over throughout the area. The winds, a narrow band went through and just it actually flattened vineyards in the area. They say that the Department of Primary Industries and Regions has a hotline for anyone to call if they need help or something. So South Australia, that's where it hit, South Australia region. They're in their spring going into summer. So they're planting again in the south is exact opposite of ours. So, it was pretty serious damage, pretty serious stuff that happened there. So, again, if we see anything more, see anything else, I will pass it on to you. Supermoon. How many of you were outside watching the supermoon? Mike sent me a picture. I mean, I was really impressed at how much larger it was than a regular moon. Actually, appeared to be larger. I shouldn't say larger.
Yeah.
It was... It was funny. He sent me this picture. It says regular moon, supermoon, and it was like just a fraction on both sides how it appeared to be bigger. Yeah, so that was funny. But the supermoon could affect the taste of wines and development of vines around the world. But it's coming at a good time for vineyards, according to proponents of biodynamics. All right. Biodynamics. I've talked about that before, and we've talked about biodynamics on this. Supermoon appeared to be 14% larger and 30% brighter on the night of 14th of November, and the biggest of its kind in 48 years to be seen from Earth. They said, what effects? The followers of biodynamic principles offer some insight to what this could do. Wines most likely show any kind of linear effect will be those farmed biodynamically, because this is the only farming system which actively considers the vines as part of a wider celestial sphere. This is said by Monty Walden, who is a biodynamic wine counselor and a consultant and writer. But biodynamic. Okay, if you're not really familiar with biodynamic, check back on past episodes. I dedicated shows to it. We've actually talked to a biodynamic vineyard in Mendocino County, California. So if you want to get more insight and more about it, then check those out. But Monty Walden suggests two ways in which the supermoon can change this year's wines. First one, the moon's closeness to the Earth brings a winter mood to plants, as plant sap is said to concentrate in the vine roots. This can make white wines taste less fruity and smell less aromatic, and it can make red wines taste more tannic than usual. There's a supermoon doing this now. So, also, number two, the moon being full brings a summer mood to plants by reflecting sunlight back to Earth, which would otherwise be lost. This could make wines taste more fruity and smell more aromatic, and could make reds taste rounder and plumper. So in other words, it could do one or the other from what he's just saying here. Okay, so The supermoon could be beneficial for the living force of the 2016s, which are going through malolactic fermentation. And it may also help bacteria become particularly active. And this is by Thomas Durow, who is a CEO of Chateau Palmer, which does biodynamic practices. It would have been very difficult or different in springtime because it would cause real increase in mildew pressure. There you go. Biodynamic. That's always fun to talk about that. It would have been, Bernice Luterne of the biodynamically farmed Chateau Clemens in Barsac also said that it was lucky the supermoon didn't arrive in the spring. If it had been in the spring, we would have been clearly under pressure by mildew. As the combination of full moon and lunar perigee impact the rise of water into the earth and plants, to which vine is especially sensitive. Wow. So, Chateau Clemens wine tours said, but now we can sleep soundly and enjoy the phenomenon. According to biodynamic calendar, 14 November began as a fruit day, which is the best for tasting wine. But this was set to merge into a root day, R-O-O-T, root day, following by two more root days, the 15th and 16th. Roots are believed to have a negative effect on wine flavors. So don't taste wine on root days. And that's sad because the 16th was Zinfandel day, so it negative effect on wine flavor. That's too bad that they happen to fall together like that. Of course, biodynamic principles and even some followers of biodynamic disagree to the extent of the calendar and lunar cycles and the taste and development of wines and all that. This is what they do. They argue about it and all. So there you go. It's the lunar moon, the supermoon could have affected the taste of the wines, and we will have to wait and see until they are actually harvested and made into wine, which could be a couple years. So I assign any of you out there listening to this, you need to remind me in a couple years as we're tasting wines if the supermoon did anything to them. So, who knows? Okay, here we go. Something else, and I want to tell you about this right now because this happens this coming, next weekend. Next weekend, and because it is next weekend, you need to know about it now so you can go, so you can make plans, so you can go to this. The Garden State, New Jersey, is having the Garden State Wine Growers Association is holding their Holiday Wine Trail Weekend on November 25th and through the 27th, 26th, 27th. It is hosting a household of company and traveling. Get your Thanksgiving stuff together and go out and visit wineries. It's throughout the state. Starting on Black Friday and continuing all weekend, wineries from Sussex County to Cape May will be hosting special entertainment and different events inside their tasting rooms. It's third year in a row they're doing this. They're giving away holiday grapevine wreaths and decorative ornaments, so you can use those. Wine trail travelers receive a wreath and ornament at their first winery stop of the weekend, and then additional ornaments from each participating winery throughout the weekend. Only participating wineries will have it, and the supplies are limited, so don't get bent if you go in and they don't have one anymore. But the diverse array of entertainment available at the state's wineries include DiMatteo Vineyards hosting a Victorian choir dressed in period costumes to sing old-fashioned Christmas carols on Black Friday. That should be fun. Four JGs in Colts Neck will also have great gift ideas for those wine lovers on your list. Jesse Creek Winery in Cape May will hold an afternoon bonfire from 2 to 6 on Saturday. And they will also offer a complimentary barrel tasting along with any wine flight. Barrel tastings are cool. If you get a chance, do it. Plagido. Plagido. I don't know. I'm saying it wrong. My tongue keeps getting in the way. Winery in Hamilton will offer tastings and feature some light food with it. And Natalie Vineyards in Cape May will give free tastings and ask that you bring an unwrapped toy for tots. Chart Winery and Blue Anchor will have live music all 3 days from 1 to 4. And Summit City Winery in Glassboro will have music from 7 to 10 on Friday and Saturday. So, and then it goes on. There's lots of others here. There's going to be some, I won't read you all these here, but let's see. They're going to have wine tastings. They're going to have hot mulled wine available at some of the wine, apple cider. And there's Terhune Orchard that's going to have apples and wine. They're going to have a petting zoo, wagon rides. The Villa Milagro Vineyards is going to be serving tiny tacos and bunillos and other Mexican treats that are usually holiday fare. Hawk Heaven Winery is going to have tours. Someone's going to have a chocolate fountain all 3 days. On and on. Cranberry wine, spice with cinnamon, orange peel, and hints of cloves. Music is going to be available almost all the time. Cool thing, a cool weekend for New Jersey. So if you are in New Jersey or anywhere near it, actually, start checking out some of the wineries up there. The nearest winery is never more than 45 minutes away from anywhere in New Jersey. Not a big state to begin with, and there's wineries all over. Taste room hours vary, so you're going to have to check. Most of them are 12 to 5, so keep that in mind. If you want to know location stuff, go to www.newjerseywines.com. There's over 2,000 acres of grapevines cultivated in New Jersey, and they're number 15 in grape production. So a good chance to get yourself up there and get to learn a little bit about New Jersey wines and see what they have to offer and all that good stuff around there. Sounds like a good time. It really does. I have a niece and nephew that live in New Jersey. I'm going to have to be sure they know about this because it sounds like it could be a lot of fun. New Jersey, the Garden State Wine Growers Association Holiday Wine Trail Weekend, November the 25th through the 27th. A cool thing. Let's see, something else. Oh, where was it here? Okay, there. This I found interesting. I'm not going to tell you about that because that's sad. The Phylloxera Wine Louse is back with a vengeance, it says. Let me tell you about this other thing here first before we do that. Where is it? Oh, here it is. I don't know for sure if this is true, but I've heard that you can ask the White House to serve your wine at events and stuff. I've heard that you know, different places will offer their wine and to the White House. And so, if it's true, cool. I don't know. But what did the president drink? Our current president, during a campaign dinner in Harlem, supplied some top American vintages, but at $30,000 a ticket, it better be some top American vintages. Herman J. Weiner, semi-dry Riesling from 2000, this is from the Finger Lakes, was paired with lobster salad. And then they had braised short ribs with Ridge Geyser Hill Essence from Sonoma County, and Brown Estate Chaos Theory 2009 from Napa Valley. George Bush, he allegedly has a vastly overindulgent 40th birthday party in Colorado Springs. Silver Oak wine was at the party. That runs about $60 a bottle. And well known for this Cabernet Sauvignon. So George Bush remembers the tab as being colossal after that event. I can imagine it, $60 a bottle. Ronald Reagan insisted any attempts to get into the makeup room prior to any appearances, he trusted his advisor to remedy the president's ghostly pale complexion. And so Reagan could not resist a good French wine. So they would put a bottle on the table, and he could see the label on the vintage, and he'd have a taste of it. And he loved the high-end French wines because it brought out the capillaries in his cheeks, which made him show good color. Richard Nixon was a big fan of first growth Chateau Margaux and also Chateau Lafite Rothschild, particularly the 1957 vintage. He said that he was not the one to share his wines. His guests were typically given a decent but far less expensive wine, and the waiters were instructed to serve it with a towel wrapped around the bottle so as to hide the label. well, yeah, you don't want to share your 57 Chateau Lafite Rothschild with just anybody, do you? Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, enjoyed champagne. And as did Jackie Kennedy, the favorite was a Veuve Cloquet. He also said that the bubbly White House dinner party with the Kennedys said that champagne was flowing like the Potomac in flood, and the president himself was opening bottle after bottle in a manner that sent the foam flying all over the furniture. So he enjoyed his champagne. And the last here on this list I'll share with you is Thomas Jefferson. Always be regarded as the first father of wine in the United States. We all have been aware of Jefferson's love for the French wines. He traveled in 1787 to southern France and the Italian Piedmont regions and fell in love with the wines there. And he brought back several top quality vintages of Bordeaux, Burgundy, and Sauternes. He also had high praise for White Hermitage. And he ordered vast amounts of wine from Hungary. In 1801, he bought 240 bottles, to be precise, along with more than 100 gallons of Madeira wine. Says, unfortunately, Jefferson's wine obsession sank him into crippling debts, leaving him on the brink of bankruptcy by the time of his death. And he probably could have sold some of those wines and gotten out of it, but, you know, why do that? So found that to be interesting. And again, you know, Trump is not a drinker, so we don't know what's going to happen with the wine there. But I have heard three times over the years that you can request your wine at the White House for different dinners or stuff, or they try to stay domestic as much as they can and things like that. I've always thought that was cool if they did and if they allowed other states and stuff, and I hope it's true. But if it's not, then that's sad. They really should. So I'm going to end early tonight. Because we don't have a festival this weekend, but we do next weekend, and we're not going to be here with you next week. So,
right. Yeah, that's odd. I don't think we've had a holiday off in a while. So,
no.
We'll do that. So, let's see. the promo says coming up this Saturday. So I guess we have to tell them not this Saturday. It's the 26th, not this Saturday. As long as we're on the same page there. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
you can still come out. You won't have anything to see, but you, you know.
Yeah.
Come on up on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Next Saturday.
We put it off. Put it off till next weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a wine fest next Saturday, and I'll tell you again, it's next Saturday, not this Saturday, after the a minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. Come on out next weekend, not this Saturday, next Saturday, the 26th, for another Wine Fest. There's going to be multiple vendors out there, not this Saturday, the 26th Saturday. And next Saturday. And, if you want more details on it, next Saturday. If you want more details and information on future events and everything that's happening at the winery, be sure to subscribe to the newsletter. Go to FloridaEstatesWines.com and subscribe. It's a great newsletter. It comes out every 2 weeks, and it'll fill you in on the tip jar and you know, things that are happening there, and the wine classes and Wine Fest and everything, and do a great job keeping everybody informed so it's a good read. And there's stuff at the bottom there that's really cool stuff too as well. You have wine facts. I think the last one had wine facts, or am I missing something?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
recipes and things like that. So you know, it's very useful and it's well done. So subscribe to it and you'll be in the know. And you know, even if you can't come out or anything, you can still subscribe to the newsletter and still, you know, stay up on what's happening and get some good tips and things like that. So it's a good read. So check it out.
We almost forgot Mike's wine report.
Yes.
Before the show,
which has changed.
Mike was. Has it? Well, good. I'll let Mike fill you in on this. Before the show, we were talking about this, and so yes. You know, it's all yours.
I was. Thank you. I went to a local grocery chain, Publix, earlier to get some stuff, and I passed by the Wine Owl, and I have to comment because every site, you know, when you're mentioning like the Apothic Dark, I go to the website, look for stuff. When you're talking about different companies and stuff, I go to the website and try to find out, you know, what information and stuff. And what I noticed is every single one of those websites, you have to answer that question: are you 21 or older? One of them, I forgot which one it was, asked me for my actual birth date, and I had to put the month, day, year, and then submit that before it would allow me access, just to get information on their wine. So I
know.
So I came up, every single website. So I came up with the question when I was in Publix today. I walked right into, you know, it's right off of the, I don't know, paper products, or whatever. It was by the,
yeah,
you know, right, the milk and cheese and dairy products on the left, on the right. And on the left was the wine and alcohol stuff. I didn't have to ask anybody or tell anybody that I was going in there to get information about, you know, what they had. Why do you have to do that online? It's not like you're actually consuming it.
I don't know. I don't understand it.
Website,
unless that's your check if you order it. And that could be. But then.
That can't be the check, because anybody could anybody could push yes. I mean, a couple of them, one of them, I went to a website, a little pop-up box came on. I thought it was an ad, and I clicked no, and I said, we're sorry, you cannot enter our site. I didn't read the question. I'm drinking a can of wine. I'm not reading questions like that. I'm just clicking whatever. You know? No.
That's right.
So I refreshed the page. I got the pop-up box. I read it this time, and it said, are you of legal, 21 years of age or older? And I go, yeah, of course. And then it let me into the site. I'm like, nobody checked my ID or anything at the grocery store. I just walked in. It's a part of the store, so I don't get it.
I know. Since you mentioned it, that is odd. Yeah, that is odd. Yeah,
it is. I don't see is there some kind of regulation now? You have to, you can't go into this website because we're talking about alcohol. I'm not consuming it. I'm just trying to find out what you're putting in your wine.
That's all.
So,
and like
anyway,
you said,
so I went and
hit yes, and you're in,
Yeah, but how's that proof, You come up with a birth date, and one of them said, were you born, it said something like, were you born before November, 17th or whatever, 17th, 1994, I forgot the actual year, but it said, were you born before this date, and I go, yeah, and it let me in the site. I'm like, anybody could do that.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the deal is on that, but yeah, you're keeping a lot of people out, I'm sure. But anyway, so I'm in there, and I'm out looking for bottled wine because I already have my favorite bottled wine, and I'm looking for the special stuff, the things that we've talked about here, and I found it. It's facing the wall away from the dairy products, so I had to do some searching, but I found it. They've got the little miniature wine bottles. They're like what you'd find on airplanes, maybe twice that size. And they have like a 4 or 6 pack of those. And then they have around the corner, they had Black Box. And then they had the, which I'm drinking now, is a Barefoot Spritzer in a can. And that was sold in a 4-pack. So I picked up the Black Box. And I'm thinking, this is a nice 1-serving wine. I'll go ahead and pick up 2 of these. They were on sale, buy 2 for, $8 or something. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And I picked up the 4-pack of the Barefoot Spritzer. I think it's a red. It is. So I get home and I decide to open up this Black Box thinking this is a single serve. Well, it's not. It's 6 inches tall. It's 3 inches square, 3 inch each side in a square, but it's 6 inches tall. It's 500 milliliters. And Ron and I told me that's what, almost two thirds of a full bottle.
Two thirds of a bottle. Yeah. 2/3 of a 750 bottle. Yeah.
So on the opposite side, I'm looking at one of the walls of this box, and it says 500 milliliters equals 3 5.6-ounce servings. So this little cardboard, I don't know what it's made out of. It's from Textra Pack, which I found out on their website. I was visiting their website to find out about Textra Pack. They've been in business since 1951, doing this kind of stuff. They make the packaging machines and everything like that and this product. And, I mean, the actual, build of it, not the product itself. But anyway, it's very misleading because it looks like a very small container. And it says 12. So I got the Black Box wine. And we talked about them before last time. I think you mentioned, and I did a search in my notes, and we talked about them and someone with the containers who mentioned the containers before, but I missed the page on it. I don't know how big this file is now, but it's huge. And also, you were drinking a Black Box wine. It was not the Cabernet. God, what was that? But you were drinking some time ago. Did I write down your stuff? Like September 22nd, Ron was drinking a 2014 Zinfandel. The Federalist. The Federalist. Ron's drinking
the
that.
The Federalist. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
I'm keeping like records of what you're doing. September 8th, Ron is drinking wine and oxy for the toothache. Does that make sense? Did you
that
have
makes
a toothache
sense.
Or something?
I had a toothache.
He's not going to tell me anymore because I'm keeping notes of all this stuff. So anyway, I got this, and it says on the box, it says 50 gold medals, wine enthusiast, 29 best buys, has the story, and then it has the ingredients, the government warning, which is very important, and it contains sulfites. No.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Sound. I don't think. Contains sulfites. Anyways. So it goes through all that. It tells you all the convenience. It's easy on the environment. Award-winning black box wines and all that. Huh? So that's the Pinot Grigio. And I tried to I started drinking it, but I didn't get the same, like, it doesn't taste like something that I was wanting to drink. So I went back to the fridge while you were talking about, where did I put? Non-beverage wine. Why cook with wine you can't drink? So I wrote that down, and then I ran to the refrigerator and I grabbed the Barefoot in a can. So this is wine spritzer in a can. That I'm not used to. So I put the cork thing away and just opened a can up like a regular soda. It's not the same roundness of a soda can, but it's a little bit taller. And it says, this is the Barefoot Refresh. It's a summer red spritzer. Now, I don't remember ever having a spritzer. But
no.
It's basically wine with very light carbonated water. And it even says that on the contained part. It's like a soda, almost like a carbonated drink with wine flavor to it. You know, it's interesting. But I actually prefer this taste over what I drank the Black Box. No offense to Black Box. And you know, I bought another one. I'm going to try that some other time because I'm drinking way too much now. And it has
shame on me.
It's for the show. I have to test this stuff.
That's right. Yeah.
You said I was having a little bit, and I'm like, well, I better go find something I can talk about. The can, which I'm still trying to get over, the can of wine, spritzer wine, has aromas of ripe berries and oranges. Enjoy at the beach, a backyard barbecue, or any Barefoot occasion. Serve chilled. And it's only 6.5% alcohol by volume. It's an 8.4 ounce can, which is 250 milliliters, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And it's really an easy drink. It's not bad at all. And it says refrigerate after opening, which is, I thought it was odd. It said serve chilled, but refrigerate after opening. I had it in the refrigerator earlier just because it's a can and I'm not used to that. I figure everything that's in a can goes in the fridge, so I put it in there when I got home. But
refrigerated 8.4. If you don't drink it all, refrigerate.
Serve chilled. Yeah, it says refrigerate after opening. But I think I can down this whole thing. It's not that bad. It has 170 calories. their serving size, it says about one serving per can. About? What does that mean?
About one serving. Well, you're supposed to have 5 ounces a day. So about means that it's about over half as much as it should be.
About.
So
it has 170 calories. It's 0 grams fat, sodium, carbohydrates, 7%, 20 grams sugars. It says 16 grams. And zero protein, all that good stuff. So, but it tastes pretty good. I'm kind of impressed that, you know, this one came out pretty good. The Black Box Pinot Grigio, I'm still kind of out on that, but I'll have to try the other wine and see how that goes down. But this Barefoot is actually really good. It's just different because I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting that fizz, you know, flavor.
A unsolicited thumbs up from Mike on the Barefoot. Fizz in
yes.
a can.
Oh, yeah. And we talked to Barefoot, didn't we? And we talked to, yeah.
We did.
We
talked to the founders, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then they sold Is that the one that's sold to Gallo?
Yes.
Because it wasn't Barefoot. Okay, it was. Okay, that's what I thought. I thought they. But yeah, it has a regular. It's a regular can. A smaller width to it. But
I've seen them.
Nice
I just
can.
Never have grabbed one and tasted them. I'm gonna have to do that now. Yeah. On your recommendation,
they
will have to do that.
Yeah, it's different. It's this is the red one. They have another one. I think that it looked like a lime color, so I'm guessing that's the white spritzers.
Yeah.
But and I don't know what this is made from. So, just as just reds. So.
Yeah, I know that's the apothecary thing.
Yeah.
I got one more thing since it is getting cold this weekend here. I've got one more thing I want to share with everyone. Red wine hot chocolate. All right. They found that discovered a winery that was active around 4,100 BC, which is about 6,000 years ago. And they're saying that wine has been used ever since there for everything that you can possibly pair it with. But the newest is red wine and hot chocolate. Red wine fits the winter better because it just sort of warms you, whereas sangria in the summer is better. But Refinery 29 is leading the charge on a new winter beverage that is cocoa, wine, and you can make it at home. And I'm going to give you the recipe here. The recipe only requires four ingredients and one saucepan. So if you're off to a fireworks display or at a cinema waiting outside to get in or strolling down the street or whatever, this wine hot chocolate is perfect for the flask and you can carry it with you. So what you need, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/3 cup of dark chocolate bits. Not a chocolate bar or anything. Chocolate bits. And I suppose you can use anything on that. 1 cup of red wine. And again, it doesn't distinguish. It just says 1 cup of red wine. And coconut whipped cream. Now, that's a little bit harder, one of the four ingredients, but coconut whipped cream. It says all you need to do is heat the milk in a saucepan while slowly melting the dark chocolate and slowly mixing in the red wine. Heat it until it's completely smooth and it's as consistency that suits you. Now, it says it's going to give you a little bit heavier consistency, but it's consistency. It says this is an incredibly rich drink, so they don't recommend chugging this. So, also for health and balance reasons. But a nice drink to have warm in the winter, hot chocolate and red wine. So, and since we're getting cold this weekend, I wanted to get that out there so everybody can make their hot chocolate and red wine for our unbelievably cold temperature.
Yes. And you were talking about New Jersey, Thanksgiving weekend, they're looking, they have some kind, I don't know if it's a cold front or just normal for New Jersey, but they're going to be in the 40s for the high.
My.
Mid to low 30s. Yeah, mid to low 30s for the low.
My.
So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, Thanksgiving weekend. Showers on Friday in the Newark area, at least. I don't know where, what were we talking about? The location. I'm not sure how far that is from there, but, some kind of front's coming through, and then partly cloudy, mostly cloudy on the weekend, and 40s and 30s for the low. So, yay! Enjoy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, okay. That's going to knock a lot of people out. But still, though, bundle up and go check it out. Yeah,
yeah, you can still go. Really? I mean, it's not like you're walking to all the wineries. It's going to be a good time.
Really
bundled. Man, this is really... this Barefoot is... I'm really impressed by this Barefoot...
Are you?
This is good.
Yeah. I have to pick
up
one.
Shocked. It's just, I just chilled it. I put it in the refrigerator when I got home, like I said, and just opened it up. But, served chilled. So, anyway. Yeah,
very good.
Good. Okay. We will see. I guess we'll go ahead and close the show.
Close.
What time is it? Oh, 8. Wow. That's Okay.
We'll go ahead talk tonight.
Close the show down. Yeah. Went a little report here. We'll see you all next week after next.
Right.
No, December,
don't come to the
December
festival
the
this
first.
Saturday. It's next Saturday. Yeah.
No.
Is it December 1st?
The following. Yeah. Already.
It is. Wow.
2 weeks from today.
Wow.
2 weeks from today. So we'll see everybody the 1st of December on All About Wine right here on Blog Talk Radio. And have a great,
we'll
have a great holiday on Thursday. It's,
have
it's
a
be great.
Safe and mm-hmm. wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
December 1st. And don't forget the Wine Fest on the 26th of November. Okay?
Right.
Be there.
Not this weekend, next weekend.
All right. We'll
right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Yeah, we'll see you. Thanks a lot. Have a good 2 weeks and a great holiday. Bye.
And
this concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of U.S. 19 and U.S. 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.